Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. I'm your host, Rob, and my co-host tonight is Heather Robinson of the New York Post. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. First of all, Heather, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Rob. How are you doing?
Good. I'm glad you're able to come on tonight and give us your thoughts on the events that are taking place. We've got a lot to talk about. Donald Trump, first president ever to be in court charged with a criminal, charged criminally with a 34 felony count. Can you believe it?
The only reason I can believe it is the circus we've seen these past few years, that the other side will stop at nothing, Rob. But it is pretty unbelievable.
And we talked about this last night, that was going to happen Monday. And lo and behold, it happened. They carted him in court. And this wacky judge, I can't even believe the guy's a judge, Judge Merchan. And I've got to add that, you know, Alvin Bragg, they went judge shopping. They wanted this particular judge to hear this trial. They wanted him to sit in judgment of this trial. Now, I'm sure all of you have read that they've tried to get him to recuse himself because his daughter is a Democrat operative. She has done campaign ads for Joe Biden. She's given to the Biden campaign. She's also done campaign ads for Kamala Harris. And Judge Marchand's wife has also given money to the Biden campaign. It's not that you can't do it, but still, I mean, the appearance of being biased, you would think that in a case of this magnitude, because of what's happening, this is a former president, you would think that this judge would say, I don't want anyone to think that we're being biased here or this is politically motivated, so I am going to recuse myself because there are other judges that could also try this case. There are other judges that could sit here at the bench or on the bench and make certain that things are done accordingly. But this judge is refusing to do it. This judge feels as if, though, no, I've got to do it. I want to go down in history as having ruled over this, as having been over this case. It has to be me. Never mind the rule of law. Never mind the fact that people are going to look at this and say, that just didn't look right. And as I mentioned to you last night, there's even a liberal judge, Judge Shiva Shinlin, who has called this judge out and said that he should recuse himself. He should recuse himself, for one, because of his daughter. He should recuse himself, but number two, because he can't be impartial. And because this is such a big case, you would think that he would say, okay, I will step aside, but he won't. I'm going to stand here because I want to go down in history. He wants to be the judge that started the whole role of our justice system being destroyed. History will not be kind to these individuals. And we've got to make certain that the people that are judging history, the people that are writing history, get it right. We want people who are unbiased, who will just call it the way it is. And in this instance, given the fact, as we mentioned last night, that Cy Vance, the former district attorney, said that there is no there in this case. Given the fact that Alvin Bragg himself had said, I am not going to bring this trial, this case to court. He even said it because he knew there was no there. But then you had the Biden White House, the Biden Justice Department weighing on him and saying, no, you got to take this up because there are going to be so many other cases that we're going to bring against former President Trump. And we want your case to be one of them, just in case he gets off. We want this case. And I want to remind you all that what they're accusing him of doing, paying money to kill a story, to silence a person, is called an NDA, non-disclosure agreement. It happens all the time. There's nothing wrong with that. Yep. But what they want to say is wrong is that, well, it's the way that he filed it on his tax returns, his company's tax returns, as if though it was an expense, a campaign expense. Well, if that's the case, that's a federal case. And the feds have to look at this. The feds have to go in and render a decision. But you know what? The Federal Election Commission looked at this and they said, we don't even want to touch it. So they even passed on it. So why is it that Alvin Bragg, who has received cases before and has reduced cases from being a felony to a misdemeanor. Look, you guys have seen all the criminal activity here in New York City. Everyone that has come before him, he has reduced the charge from a felony to a misdemeanor. Whereas this case that he's trying to bring against Trump, which is a misdemeanor, he's decided to elevate it to make it a felony. Now, some of you probably aren't aware of it. I'm sure that our listeners, they're aware of it because they're in tune. But some of our first-time listeners are probably completely unaware of what Alvin Bragg has done. He has taken a misdemeanor charge that shouldn't have even been looked at and elevated it to a felony. And if it is a felony, it's out of his reach because it would become an election campaign issue, something that the state cannot try. So why is it, is Alvin Bragg trying to try this case? And why, pray tell, isn't the media coming out and saying this makes absolutely no sense? This attorney general, the right district attorney, I'm sorry, this district of attorney is destroying our rule of law just to go after Joe Biden's political opponent. You would think that the Department of Justice would say, wait a minute, put the brakes on this. You can't do it. But even with that, Heather, you would think that this judge, Marchand, who's supposed to know the law, would look at this and say, I'm sorry, Alvin, there's no there there. There's nothing here. You can't bring this. And not only that, Heather, here's the kicker. The statute of limitation, if this were a misdemeanor, has run out. They waited too long to present it. All the more reason Alvin Bragg has decided, well, I'm going to make it a felony. Well, if you look at the rule of law, a judge would look at this and throw it out and say, but you can't do that. It is out of your purview. Why then isn't the media calling it out? Why aren't other attorneys calling it out? Why are they sitting and allowing this to take place? I will tell you why. Because it's all political. It is a political charade designed to go after Trump because they know that Biden probably won't be able to defeat him at the polls. So why not bring this case in liberal New York City, where the last time I looked, according to the election polls, let me just look at my notes because I want to get this right. According to the numbers, 86.4% of people in New York voted against Donald Trump, whereas 12.2 voted for him. So one out of every 10 persons said, oh, we don't like Trump. So now we saw yesterday and today when they were trying to go through the jurors, they've already made up their mind. They're already going to say, we're going to find him guilty. 50 out of 96 people that they surveyed said, Heather, that they can't be impartial. They can't be fair. So that lets you know it's baked into the cake. They're going to already say he's guilty unless there's one person there who's going to look at this and say, this is wrong. I'm going to stand on the right side of history because they only need one person to say not guilty. And that throws it all up. One person to say, this is wrong. I want to obey the rule of law. And I'm going to say not guilty. What do you say, Heather?
Yeah, Rob. I mean, Trump said it best today. I saw the snippet where he said, you know, New York City people are getting murdered, attacked, raped, shaken down, you know, carjacked. But this is what the district attorney of New York City chooses to spend his time on, not prosecuting real crime against the people of New York, which is a mess, but this. In terms of your question as to why the media doesn't say anything about how obviously agenda-driven and grossly absurd this is, I have to say, I saw an article in the New York Times Sunday Magazine, and you know I'm a fan of the Times, but even the New York Times seemed to note that there's an undeniable political agenda here. It was a big story, I think, in just Sunday's paper called Trials of Alvin Bragg. And it was strange because, you know, I even wrote down a section to read. It was like it pretty much acknowledged that the Alvin Bragg's, you know, wildly biased, you know. Here's a paragraph for Bragg. This break in lawyerly protocol to be talking about a potential case before seeing all the facts at risk of appearing biased. Yet in this election cycle, and with Trump newly vulnerable after his 2020 loss, holding him to account seemed to be vital to being elected in Manhattan. So they noted that Bragg, appeared on some podcast with what they describe as the flamboyantly anti-Trump Robert De Niro, railing against Trump. They were having like a Trump bash fest. And this was even before anybody knew all the facts or before Bragg had decided to move forward with this case. So, I mean, it's grossly inappropriate conduct. I mean, for a DA, is it not? I mean, he's sitting there in the public arena sounding off on a wildly biased show about somebody who he's going to be in the decision seat over whether to, proceed again, with charges against. So it's like even the New York Times, and I'm no fan of they, but I mean, everybody knows this is political. The media knows it. I guess they just don't care. But I mean, I don't know whether to give the New York Times a tiny bit of credit. I mean, this was the magazine, and I guess they're trying to make an interesting story, but it's like even with all their anti-Trump bias, it's like they're not denying that this is being handled with a lack, an astonishing lack of professionalism, bias. You and I have talked about this before, Rob. How many people, how many so-called journalists, bloggers, lawyers, politicians have made their careers, people of not such great achievement, but they've made their careers, they've catapulted themselves on Trump hate. And I guess Alvin Bragg's one of them.
How can Trump even get a fair trial in liberal New York City? How can he get a fair trial if the judge himself, the line of questioners, the questions that they're given to the jurors are all designed against Trump? It's almost, and they know it, and that's the thing that's really disheartening, is that they know it. They know how the jurors are going to decide this case, and they don't care. You would think that this judge would say, I am good enough that I know that I can have a fair trial to make certain that this man is rendered a fair verdict. But he's doing everything in his power to make certain that the tides are against Trump. Now, just imagine when you go back in history and look at this, and people say, wow, this goes back to Boss Tweed when the cases were fixed. They don't care. There is such a dislike and hate for this man. I don't get it. I've said before, he's boisterous, he's loud, he talks too much, but that doesn't mean that he shouldn't get a fair trial. And that is a reason why many people are saying they look at this and say, Black men have gone through the same thing. And if you say that, the left will have a conniption. They will go crazy. Oh, how dare you say that? What do you mean, how dare you say it? You look at what happened in the segregated South. You look at what happened with Emmett Till when he was killed and they left the man off. Okay. You look at what happened to Martin Luther King when he was arrested in Fulton County, the same jail that they brought charges against Trump. And then you want to say that, oh, how could you compare? Easily, if you look at the facts. But when you're dealing with a biased media that doesn't want to look at the facts, when you're dealing with a biased media that wants to control the verdict, you have this judge putting a gag order on Trump saying he can't say anything about the case. I also want to throw him in jail. Meanwhile, he's allowing Stormy Daniels, Michael Cohen, to go on talk shows and say whatever they want to say. But he says Trump can't say that because he might put fear on the witnesses. Well, what fear if they're going to go out and run their mouths? He can't say anything. He can't defend himself. When did here in America we take away a person's right to defend themselves? While these characters, they can go out and say whatever they want to say. They can go on all the fake news shows and spin the story the way they want to spin it. And you know what's interesting, Heather? Is that Michael Avenatti, the creepy porn lawyer, who was
Yeah.
Stormy Daniels' attorney, is in
Yeah.
jail right now for robbing his clients, even came out and said, Trump will not get a fair trial. How can he get a fair trial? Now, the media on the left, they don't want to talk about him now. But before then, when he was after Trump, there was, oh, he should be the next president. He should run for president. He's the next coming. But now that he's speaking truth and he's calling this out, they don't like him now. They want to keep him shut. Be quiet. Don't say anything. How is this justice? I don't care what you feel about Trump, but how can people in the legal community sit back and allow this to happen, Heather?
I don't know. I mean, we've sort of informally polled people we both know, I think, Rob, and people who don't like Trump. I mean, how can they be okay with seeing the government weaponized like this and all these resources poured into an agenda, an obsession, it's like Ahab going after Moby Dick, or I can think of examples from literature. It's like somebody's just totally obsessed with stopping somebody, only it isn't just a somebody, it's a whole enormous establishment of this whole country. It's just very obvious, that they're trying to get him on thing after thing after thing. And it's not even got any pretense anymore of being objective. These are our courts, our agencies of government that are supposed to be striving for objectivity in protecting Americans' rights. I don't see how people aren't, even people who aren't Trump supporters, upset about the misuse of funds and time. I mean, like Trump said, there's horrible crime all over New York that's not being prosecuted. There's revolving door justice. There's, people are feeling unsafe. I mean, don't they, on the level of self-interest, just object to the government's resources being wasted this way? But I guess, that hatred of Trump trumps everything for a lot of people. They're brainwashed, Rob. I mean, they see it just in total black and white. I mean, some Democrats I've spoken with are a little more reasonable, and they say that even though, they think Trump was irresponsible in his leadership on January 6th, they're very upset about that. Of course, I don't quite understand why they're not equally or more upset that we had 6 months of politician-sanctioned and encouraged riots before that. But, they've been spooked by this idea of white supremacy, which I think is exaggerated. I'm not saying there's no threat of that, but I think it's been exaggerated, and I think they've bought it, and they think, Trump's somehow sending secret signals to these kinds of people, which I think is a media fantasy, but they believe this. And so for them, I guess, they just think that Trump needs to be stopped, that he's a threat. Look, I mean, I don't see what the objective evidence is. I mean, to me, the weight of evidence is overwhelming that, really the more militant, violent threat of political violence is from the left. I mean, yes, there was trouble from the right, after many, many years of being pushed, basically. I'm not saying there's nobody on the right who's concerning, but my point is they just think that Trump is. They see him as like this dictator, his would-be dictator. And so, even though they'd be fair-minded enough to acknowledge that there's a big agenda to stop him and that the government's resources and agencies and money is being misused in a biased campaign to block a certain candidate, they just have been, fed this idea, this gross, caricature of him. And they're scared. I don't know. They're scared of the Trump and the white supremacists.
Well,
I
Heather,
mean,
we're going to pick
forget
it up.
about what,
We'll pick this up on the other side
yeah.
of the break because I want to delve into that. You brought up a lot of good points that I want to cover. You listen to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. We'll be back after this commercial break.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created Joint Health and Mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX Throat Spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop, that's AmericaOutLoud.shop, and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
We're back from the commercial break, and Heather, a couple of things you've mentioned that I want to dissect a little bit. You mentioned Alvin Bragg. If people go back and look at the tape, they will see that Alvin Bragg, before he got this position, he, like Letitia James, both came out and said that they were going to go after Trump. Why were they going to go after Trump? What did Trump do? He was a president. He's no longer the president. But they were already saying, we're going to go after him. See, the agenda had already been set by the left. Talk about collusion. They were already going after him because they were saying, you know, you better not run again, because if you do, we're going to come after you. Lo and behold, they're making good on that threat, on that promise. Letitia James campaigned on going after Trump. We're going to go after him because he's an illegitimate president. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. Now imagine had that been someone from the right saying that. All hell would have broken loose. But Letitia James said it and she did it. She kept Trump in court trying to steal away his property, trying to steal Mar-a-Lago, trying to steal Trump Towers, trying to steal his Betts Minster home, trying to take it all, 40 Wall Street, one of his prized possessions. She's trying to steal that. So she got a judge, Judge Aragon, who allowed everything to be entered into the court case. He himself decided that he knew better than realtors the values of property. He tried to assess, well, not try, he assessed a value on a property in Florida that he has never seen, he has never visited, he's only seeing through pictures. He decided himself, I'm going to tell you how much it's worth. He didn't even bother to go on Zillow. So he came up with all of this because they're trying to go after the person who committed a crime. But here's the kicker. No one was harmed. People that he did business with got their money back twofold. No one was harmed, but no, this judge, oh no, there was something wrong. So he decided to assess a fine that was an exorbitant amount, which goes against the Constitution that says you can't do that. He decided to do it because he knew, well, Trump, he might be a billionaire, but no billionaire has that amount of money just laying around. So I'm going to assess this huge fine so that Letitia can steal his property. And you talk about a gag order. Day after day, she was in the news saying, we're going to take his property. We're going to take this. We're going to take that. Feeding this into the minds of New Yorkers. I feel really bad for New Yorkers, because if you're going to sit back and watch this and you think that it's gleeful, you think that it's funny, not knowing that the tables will be turned and they're going to come after you. And then they're going to say, well, we did it to him. Why can't we do it to you? We're going to take what you have because we don't like the way you're thinking. We don't like some of the things that you're saying. And now we have Alvin Bragg, who said the exact same thing. I've gone against Trump before, and I'm the only person who could go after him. Now, here's the kicker, because during the election, there was no one to run against him. And he didn't get a lion's share of the vote. He only got a small amount of the vote because people didn't even know who he was, and they weren't concerned about him winning the race. But yet still, he won thanks to George Soros. Something else you mentioned, the people, they're afraid that Trump is sending out these signals to white supremacy groups. And he's telling them, we've got to do this and we've got to do that. But look at what Joe Biden is doing. Look at what these judges are doing, sending out signals. We're going to find him guilty. It's okay. Disregard the rule of law. Disregard what you know. We're going to put all this information out there. And then they talk about Trump was trying to suppress this story about an affair with Stormy Daniels. And then they have another Playboy model who's going to come and say she had an affair with Trump. Now, here's the kicker, because on more than one occasion, Stormy Daniels signed an affidavit saying that there was no affair. Now, how are we supposed to go get around that? Are we supposed to say that, you know, she committed perjury? And if she did, they're not going to arrest her. But how are we going to get around it that she signed an affidavit saying there was no affair? And then the star witness, Heather, for the prosecutor is Michael Cohen, who also on more than one occasion testified before Congress, got up in a church and said that Trump is a generous man. He's not a racist. He's giving, saying all these glowing things about Trump. But now, oh no, Trump is a bad person. So how are they going to use this man to go against Trump? Well, see, it doesn't matter because they know, well, he can say whatever he wants to say, but this is in liberal New York City. And no one likes Trump because remember, as I mentioned to you, 86.4% of people voted against Trump. So why wouldn't they allow this case to be moved to another jurisdiction whereby truly he's tried by peers, by his own peers, as opposed to people that are all Democrats? Why wouldn't they allow that to be judged by peers?
I don't know. It should be. There should be a change of venue, of course. It's all, you know, I hate to say it, Rob. I guess it's just all corrupt. I mean, I guess there's just, I mean, I'm not saying our entire legal system is corrupt, but I just, you know, I do think there are judges, you know, who strive for fairness and objectivity. But we know that in places like New York, it's, you know, the Democrats have a lock on things. They have a monopoly on power, and power corrupts. And they are, you know, I mean, I hate to say it, but a lot of them are corrupt, is my opinion.
And it only takes one apple, Heather, it only takes one apple to rot the entire cart. And that's what we have here. One judge doing the wrong thing, allowing things into the court that shouldn't be there, not practicing jurisprudence. It spoils everything. Because once one judge do it, the next judge would do the same thing. Look at Judge Aragon. He did it. Look at the judge in D.C. She wants to try to do it. All of these judges are trying to take their shot at this. And then the one judge in a county that's probably favorable for Trump in Florida, they're taking hot shot at her saying, oh, no, she's no good. She should step down. She's a horrible judge. But when Trump comes out and says the same thing, oh, what is he saying? You can't say that. And these are the things that I wonder, are the American people seeing the double standard? The media will attack this judge, Eileen Cannon, in Georgia all day long. Say that she doesn't know what she's doing. She's a Trump appointee and she's horrible. But then fast forward to these other liberal havens like DC, like New York. And if you say one thing against the judge, oh, you're going against the justice system. How could you criticize these judges? He's like, but you're criticizing Eileen Cannon. You want her to be disbarred. But these other judges that are playing according to your narrative, you're okay with. How can that be? And see, this is what we need the media to come out and say, wait a minute, this shouldn't be this way. You can't tell him he can't talk, and you're allowing the other individuals to talk. And that is a reason why I have such disdain for the media in its current state. And I want to be more specific, okay, because I don't think that this is a free press. I think this is a controlled press by a Democrat, a political party. And that political party happens to be the Democrat. Because when you look, when you pull back the curtains and you look at it, these same people have been part of the Barack Obama, Bill Clinton regime. They have all worked in those White Houses. And now they're in the media. Look at Jen Psaki. She's on PMSNBC. She used to be Joe's talking person. How can that be? Simone Sanders, she's on PMSNBC. You look at CNN, fake news CNN. You have people that are there that used to be in the Obama White House. So how can you tell me that these people are going to be fair and objective? They can't be, because they have a skin, they have skin in the game, and they want to protect Joe Biden. And that's the thing that's sad. And I wish, and we said this last night, I wish someone would stand up and call this out. I wish someone would try and save our democracy. I wish someone would call out Judge Marchand. Now, as I mentioned, his colleague, Judge Judah Shiva Shindlin in New York City, she called him out. I think she called him out on fake news CNN, and she said that he should recuse himself. She said this on fake news CNN, but you don't see them playing it up. You don't see it at all, because she's calling him out. Now, if she were singing his praises, if she were to say, oh, no, he can be impartial. Oh, let him sit there. There's nothing wrong with it. Oh, they would play that nonstop. But because this judge, and I want you all to look her up, Shiva Shindlin.
What's her name?
Shiva, Shiva Shindlin. She called him out, and she said that he should recuse himself. And she said this on fake news CNN. But, of course.
She said brag.
And they were shocked when she said it. They were shocked. All the more reason they wanted to play it down.
So was she saying the judge or Bragg should
the
recuse
judge.
Himself?
She said the judge. She said the judge should recuse Bragg himself.
Well, Bragg's, completely, made his bias plain long before he decided to take this case. And even the New York Slimes, ran a piece, like I said, this past Sunday that, was basically all but kind of pointing out that this is, an obvious agenda-driven thing for Bragg. It was like they couldn't quite bring themselves to fully say it's crooked, because of course they hate Trump and Bragg's on their side, but it was like whoever wrote the story, and had enough honesty to just, talk about how even Bragg himself, I remember at one point they described him being sheepish discussing his decision to pursue the whole thing. It's almost like at one point Bragg had the shame to be embarrassed, as a serious DA of a major metropolitan area that's rife with crime and mayhem, to be making this ridiculous alleged NDA from 15 years ago, the people's business. It was like even Rag on some level at some point seemed embarrassed. And it is an embarrassment. It is not something for a serious person in law enforcement or government to be pursuing. These people are frivolous, they're petty, they're biased, they're unprofessional, and they should be embarrassed.
But see, that's the thing, because we spoke about this in one of our shows, bringing back shame. And I said shame as far as embarrassment. I don't think these people have, I don't think they have shame. I don't think that they can be embarrassed. I think that they are who they are, and they feel as if though what they're doing is the right thing. And you know why? Because here in America, at this point in time, they are celebrated. Definitely in New York City. Look at how Letitia James was celebrated. People, oh, she's going to get Trump. Oh, she's going after Trump. Look at the same thing with Alvin Bragg, because Alvin Bragg and Letitia James, they have sights on a higher office. She wants to be the governor. He wants to be the governor. And for them, by taking Trump out, this will give them more, I guess, popularity to people to say, oh, yeah, they did this to Trump, as opposed to us looking at them and shaming their behavior, shaming them into embarrassment and say, what you did was to go against the rule of law. You bastardize our justice system just for political gain. And that's all this is for, political gain. It's political theater for political gain to get higher office. Because look at the criminal activity that's taking place in New York City. Why isn't Letitia James going after that? Why isn't Alvin Bragg? As I said during the first block, Alvin Bragg, every time a case was brought to him that was a felony, he would reduce it to a misdemeanor. Why is that? Who is he trying to help? Black people? Well, you're reducing these, you're turning these criminals back into the black community to commit further crime. You look around, you look at the stores like CVS and Duane Reade. A lot of them have closed their doors. Why? Because of the criminal activity. And in whose neighborhoods? In black neighborhoods. So now there are no more pharmacies. Even Walmart, I saw, was closing its doors somewhere in California. because of the criminal activity. But they think that, oh, we're giving them a leg up. We're trying to reduce this. Why? They can obey the law just like everyone else. Why do we need to reduce the standard? And then you have liberals that are sitting there saying, oh, yeah, it's unfortunate what's happening in our community, but, you know, we're going to still vote for Democrat. Why would you do that? You're defeating yourself. You're causing more harm on yourself. And I said on one of our shows, maybe that's what needs to happen. Maybe if they're hit hard enough, they will wake up and snap out of this reverie that they're in and realize that the Democrats mean them no good. They don't mean them any good. And we spoke about this last night on our show.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that the Democrats are actively meaning ill to Black people. I think they just, my humble opinion, I think they just take the Black vote for granted. I think they use it. I think they, you know, pass through things kind of the way they do with kids, with young kids. You know, they're offering all this loan forgiveness. You know, it's like, are they really crafting strategies to help young people to advance themselves and, you know, maybe get partial loans and, you know, get good job training that'll help them to help themselves? No, they're just writing checks, you know, and forgiving all kinds of debt. It's like bribery, you know, I mean, I think that's how it is. I don't know that they're actively meaning ill to Black people or to students, you know, or to, you know, all these constituencies. That they're like bad parents who just give away what they, you know, whatever anybody's asking for or thinks they want, rather than helping people to have real opportunities. And to, you know, everybody needs help sometimes and a hand up and training and support. That's different than just giving away stuff for, you know, for total, for free, you know, which is what they do. And that, you know, so I don't personally think it's as much about trying to hurt, you know, I think it's more that they think, the Democrats think they're being the good guy, you know, just like they think they're being good to just let everybody illegal across the border. I mean, they you know, that's what those people in the moment want. Some of them are criminals, some of them are good people. As Trump said, they're desperate. But in the big picture, are you really helping them? You're just giving them something, but meanwhile you're migrating all kinds of problems from these other countries. You're encouraging trafficking and the importation of drugs. You know, you're undermining the economy for Americans who need jobs. I mean, you're creating all these other problems in the name of you being the nice guy, just giving the people what they think they want, even if it's unhealthy. That's how I see them. I don't think that they're actively plotting to keep people down. I think maybe even some of them have good intentions, but their policies are stupid. They don't work. And they create, you know, they make people dependent. They reward dysfunction, they incentivize criminality in many cases, and they get to feel like they're the generous good ones behind their gated communities with their, you know, security guards and their, you know, fancy neighborhoods. They're not directly impacted as much by the disastrous results of these, you know, 40 years of bad policy.
Well, Heather, you could be right, but I still think that they're, one thing I'll say, they're not helping these disenfranchised communities. Now, we've got to go to commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to shift gears slightly and talk about what's happening right now in Israel with Iran, because we're now hearing that Israel is gearing up to strike back, although the Biden administration doesn't want that. You're listening to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. And my co-host tonight, Heather Robinson of the New York Post.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Be a part of a revolutionary new healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interests of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutLoud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Last half of the show, first half, we opened up talking about this crazy trial that's taking place in New York City that's supposed to last for, I think, all of 6 weeks. And during this time, we're going to see all types of theatrical productions. We're going to see the media trying to dissect this 7 ways to Sunday, trying to convince people that Trump is guilty. We've also learned that this week, the Republicans are going to, I think, have another hearing on the Jan 6, and they're going to produce information that the Democrats did not produce during their theatrical production, showing that police officers were ready, waiting, and willing to go in and defend the Capitol. However, the mayor of D.C., Muriel Bowser, who happens to be a Democrat, and Nancy Pelosi, who was the Speaker of the House at the time, who's charged with protecting the House, told the police officers to stand down. So that's a little bit of tidbit that the media will not put out there. Never once have they said that Nancy Pelosi is responsible for the protection of the House members. Why haven't they mentioned that? Why didn't they call her up to testify? See, this is all information, again, that the media, according to the Constitution, is supposed to hold our elected officials accountable, have not been doing it. They've been in bed with this Democrat Party, and that's the reason why I say that in its current form, it has to be shut down. Not the free press, but a press that's operating under the auspices of the Democrat Party has to be shut down. The same way these journalists, media, is feeding us misinformation about the war and Israel. They're making people believe that Israel started this. I mean, look at all the protests last Monday. People trying to, they didn't try. They shut down the Golden Gate Bridge. They shut down the airport, the entrance to the airport in Chicago. They tried to shut down the Brooklyn Bridge. And these are all fanatics that are supporting Hamas, that are waving the Hamas flag, because they don't know, these kids don't know, they don't know the real story, but the media has them thinking that they do.
I think they know. I think they don't care. Well, I couldn't get over, Rob. You know, I mean, all these protests. I mean, I've upset as I've been inclined to give some benefit of the doubt that, well, maybe some of these people are upset because of the death toll is very high on the Palestinian side. There are a lot of people, unintended consequences of war, which we know are horrible. And I wouldn't deny that. Children dying. But I mean, if that's really their concern, and I'm concerned about that too. And it's terrible, but it's not Israel's fault. But as far as I'm concerned, it's Hamas. It could all be over today, as you know, if they would stop it already and stop what they began and they sustained by holding our people, et cetera, and the horrible use of their own people. But you know, the thing about this was, I mean, these protesters are out now and nobody even, I mean, there was one little Israeli Bedouin girl who I believe was injured, which is a tragic thing. But, you know, in general, Iran shot its wad. It was a big failure. They got blocked by America and Israel. And
Heather, let me say this.
Yeah.
I'll let you continue. You said it was a failure. Well, I've been reading about this and I'm hearing, I don't know how true it is, that the Biden administration knew well in advance that Iran was going to strike. And if you recall, when Putin had said that he was going to strike at America, Biden apparently told him, well, you can, but don't hit our infrastructure, don't hit this, and don't hit that. Now, I don't know how true that is, but I'm hearing he said he did the same thing with Iran, that John Kerry, acting as an emissary, went to Iran and said, okay, we know you guys are going to strike, and we're going to be prepared to knock all this down so that it doesn't cause any harm. Because they acted with such precision and knocking out the drones that Biden said, this is going to happen, but just make certain that you do it on this time so that we can knock them out. And that's the reason why they were so successful. Not a person was killed, 300 drones. Now we're hearing that Biden has gone in and spoke with Benjamin Netanyahu and told him, okay, it's over. Because remember, once Iran had done this, they said, okay, we're done, nothing else. Because they want to create the image as if though they're powerful. Look at what they can do. And as we said on last night's show, they don't have a standing army. The only thing they have are drones, and they have the terrorists that could go in and create havoc. So now that Israel is saying, well, you know, we can't let you get away with that. Because if we do, we're going to constantly be bullied. And we have to show you that we mean what we said and we said what we will do. So now, but Biden is telling Israel, no, please stand down. Because if you do, we are not going to help you. Now, again, I don't know how true that is. Just from my research, from looking at different articles, this is what was said. So although we say that, okay, it was a flop, they shot their wad and it was a flop, but was it intended to be a flop? Was this by design? I think it was.
No,
go ahead.
I don't think so. I mean, yeah, I just think that's pretty far-fetched. I mean, they're not going to send however many 300 drones and all this stuff to humiliate themselves and show how weak they really are and have it all be shot down. I don't personally believe that. No, I think they are militarily not remotely in league with the United States, with Israel, with any of these powers. You know, this may be why, in addition to their sadistic, horrible ways, they love terrorism and they love funding proxies and pushing other people to do the dirty work and do these acts of sensational, vicious brutality. It's the only way. I mean, they can't win conventionally. This is another example of that, which does not mean that I think they're justified in their mania. You know, they should just sit back, behave themselves, and be normal and stop it already. But because they're such hotheads and they won't stop, you know, they're constantly coming up with these diabolical, creative ways to brutalize and terrorize us because they can't win conventionally any more than the Arab armies that ganged up on Israel in 1948, 1967, and 1973 could. So the truth is what this reveals is, and you know, look, nobody of goodwill, including me, wants war, okay? I just think that if we're going to do something, we need to take out that regime finally. If we're not going to do it and we're not going to go to win and handle it, I don't know that we should respond. I mean, Israel, you know, defended its territory from their best effort to, you know, conventionally assault. You know me, Rob, I don't like this whole tit-for-tat war thing that goes on for years and years and years and turns into bloody stalemates and hundreds of thousands of people dead. I mean, that, you know, that is not my jam. I don't like any war. I don't want any war. I think if we can defend ourselves, turn ourselves into a fortress, keep them out, that would be vastly preferable to me than hurting anybody. But if, God forbid, you know, they're going to keep insisting on bombing our ships, dismembering our service members, grabbing and torturing our civilians and diplomats, they're going to torment us decade after decade after decade. Finally, they're going to have to be stopped. And if we go to war, we go to win. Otherwise, I don't think we should respond. I think we should just protect our territory, you know, whether it's Israel with the Iron Dome, whether it's building a wall around this country, you know, once and for all, you know, no civilized person wants war. We do not want it. We do not want to hurt these people, their children, but they will not stop tormenting. At a certain point, If you're going to go to war, you go to win and you settle it, like World War II. God forbid it comes to that. But otherwise, I don't know that this back and forth and tit for tat and bloody this and that, and then pull back, you know, I mean, I don't see where that settles anything, and I don't know what we're waiting for. I think this reveals that they are conventionally weak in terms of their air force, their army. That regime could be removed. And I guess we're afraid of World War III, but I don't know why on earth anybody would jump in to defend a bunch of absolute fanatical, sadistic losers of the world like the Iranian regime. Frankly, maybe I'm wrong, but I think Putin and China would probably just let it go.
I hope you're wrong in that aspect. And I hope that I'm wrong in what the Biden administration said to Iran. But I do know that John Kerry has been in communication with the mullahs there. And it doesn't seem far-fetched, because I do find it very difficult to believe that out of 300 drones, not a one of them hit its target. Out of 300 drones, we were successful in taking them all out, when in any other situation, we're unable, Heather, to take out any drones in Yemen and any of the other places. So I would like to believe that they were successful with the precision, but there's something in me that says that's not, I doubt it, seriously. Go ahead.
Yeah, Rob, what do you mean? I mean, no, this one little girl, and you know how it breaks my heart with anything with a child, so I don't minimize, one little girl was hurt. But, you know, if they had killed masses of people, I mean, we'd know about it. If they had destroyed masses of Israeli military posts and equipment and infrastructure, we'd know about it. I mean, they didn't. They didn't. This is the thing. Their conventional military capacity is not remotely equal to Israel's or America's. They are a puny, belligerent, fanatical, you know, rage-filled, dinky country that, you know, I mean, they have a population that actually hates them too. I'm talking about the Iranian regime. A lot of their people can't stand them. I don't know why the world is putting up with so much from them. They could be militarily defeated conventionally, but instead we let them fund and foment terrorism for 40 years, and we just let them get away with it. Bomb our ships, dismember our service members, you know, send their proxies to grab civilians and hold Israelis and international people and Americans hostage and torture them. We just let them do it. I don't know why. They're a paper tiger. They're not so scary. They're not. I mean, they're capable of great evil and brutality. That's what they have. That's what they have. That's their power as bullies, to terrorize with this sadistic cruelty and terrorism. That's all they have. And we let them wield it instead of just taking them out militarily. I think we should either find a way, like Israel just did and America did, to just block them from being able to hurt us, which would be my first choice because I hate war. But, you know, I think if you can't contain them, you have to remove the cancer, finally. Otherwise, we're in for 100 more years of terrorism until they get a nuclear bomb and they destroy the world. I mean, I don't know why the whole civilized world puts up with this from these people. I guess it's because of their alliance with Russia and China. So, I mean, I get that it's more complicated maybe than what I'm saying, but I do think that the West needs to find its confidence already. And, you know, I don't know exactly what we should do, but I think that Trump would be the far better man to make that determination than Biden.
Well, I'll say this. I think the reason why they are empowered is for the simple fact the way we're responding right now. And Iran knows that Biden is telling Israel not to retaliate. I mean, the article that we were discussing during the pre-show or pre-work about Israel gearing up to launch a counterattack, whether or not they're going to do it remains to be seen. But we know that they want to, and the Biden administration does not want them to. And Iran knows that. They know that the Biden administration, I don't want war. I'm not a warmonger, but Israel has to defend itself. And Israel cannot be made to look weak the way Biden has made the United States look weak. I mean, all the more reason, like I said, I hope that I am wrong. I sincerely do hope that I'm wrong. But it just seems rather strange. And we don't have journalists to question what happened. Although we're doing it here, I'm questioning 300 drones and they were successful in knocking them out. And when there's just like one or two and we can't knock them out. No, I'm sorry. There's something here. And we need to know what the Biden administration is doing behind the scenes. I don't trust John Kerry. I think he's a warmonger. I just don't trust this administration. I don't. And I don't think Israel should trust this administration because Biden has proven to us that he's more concerned about that small population of Muslims in Michigan than he is about the well-being of the entire nation or Israel. He's only concerned about that small little group because he knows, hey, if I don't win this state, I'm not going to win the election. If I'm not successful in cheating here, I'm not going to win it. So I will sacrifice Israel. I will sacrifice the vote of the Jewish community. I'm okay with that just to get that vote, get that small little smidging of a vote. Because if I don't, Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar will tell people don't vote. And that's something else we have to realize is that when I'm saying that he might lose is not because people will switch over and vote for Trump. No, those Muslims, they're not going to vote for Trump. They just won't go to the polls and vote. They won't go to the polls and vote, and then Biden won't have that vote. This is a very dangerous, slippery slope that we're playing with. And it would be okay if both parties, let's say if Joe had the semblance of understanding world events. But as we said last night, Robert Gates told us that Joe Biden has been wrong on every foreign policy issue since he has been on the Hill. We have to take him at his word, and we have to take that seriously. Although the media will play it down. I'll see this one last thing before we end the show, because we're up against the time. We have to believe what he said. And although the media wants to make it seem as if, though, no, he didn't really mean that. He meant it. Joe Biden has been wrong. And you can look at Joe Biden now and tell that he is struggling. Even the other day when he met with the prime minister, I think, of Iraq, he was reading from a cue card. And no one is calling him out because they want to make it normal that it's okay. That is not okay. Joe looks weak. He looks weak in front of our enemies. And that is not a good position to be in. The only thing Joe could do right now is to weaponize his Department of Justice against his chief opponent, so that he can throw him in jail, so that he can win the election. You're listening to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. And my co-host tonight was Heather Robinson. Thank you for joining us. And we will end the show saying, as we have always said, God bless America, God save Israel, good night, and God bless.